This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get up. Got to get a getting. Springtime's coming, and we got to get out and kind of get some speed on here. Get a little action. You've been laying up, you old lazy thing. Let's get back in our study. We're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we saw there in our last study, we saw the Lord standing there in the midst of his disciples on a Sunday night telling them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And it reveals the fact that his whole earthly ministry was lived under the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And he said the night before he was crucified, he told them, "I will not leave you comfortless or orphans." This great truth, everyone who claims to be saved ought to listen and learn or live a defeated life before the world. Let's not forget this great fact. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer from the moment that he comes to know the Lord. The very moment that the Lord saves a sinner, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell, because John 14:17 says, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you." Then Peter said in his sermon there at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Lord Jesus Christ is God's love gift to the sinner as his substitute, as his surety, as his redeemer, as his hiding place, a cleft of the rock. And the Holy Spirit is God's love gift to every believer. One who lives with him, abides with him, makes Christ real to him. We find there in Romans 8, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies." Quicken your mortal bodies by what? Let's look and see. By the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, let me call your attention to this great fact. In every realm, every walk of life, in the natural or the spiritual, the same cause with the same condition produces the same results. Why are we failing today? Why is the church today unable to cope with the world situation as we see it? Why is the church today unable to stem the tide of worldliness, first in the church and then then outside the church? It's because the church today, yours and mine, has rejected the work of the Holy Spirit as the world rejected the Son of God. Christ said in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The Son of God, the Son of Man, surrendered himself." Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, surrendered himself unto the Holy Spirit. And everything that was taught or wrought through him or by him was done by the Holy Spirit. Then the believer can be like the surrendered Christ when he recognizes the indwelling Holy Spirit and yields or surrenders his entire life to him. Oh, my friend, is that a reality to you? You know, we often ask you, is Christ real to your heart? He can be through the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ is revealed to every born-again believer when he comes there with no hope, comes there as a poor old beggar. Oh, my friend, I wish I could maybe take time out. Let me attempt to do that. Here's a poor old soul in this world living day by day, maybe religious, maybe not. Knows nothing of the saving grace of the Lord, only a profession or only a believingism. And the Holy Spirit comes there, finds that individual, sees him as one of God's elect. Oh, yes, that's right. And he begins to probe that heart like he did mine dig around him like he did mine. Question, are you saved, brother? What is your hope? Is Christ real to you? Those are the things that happened to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. The Lord threw him off of that old horse or donkey, and he looked up, and the Lord said, Saul, 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 why? Why you want to kick against the pricks? Saul, my friend, whether you knew it or not, or know it or not, was one of the most learned, or maybe the most learned individual of that time. Oh, he was a who's who. Who's who of the world as far as literacy was concerned. He knew the scriptures back and forward, what was there. And the Lord chose him as a vessel of honor and made him a child of the Lord and used him to write many of the books of the Bible. But at that particular time, he said, Lord, the Lord said to him, Saul, why you want to kick against the pricks? Now let me ask you, awaken sinner, you know who I'm talking to. If you know that you're not saved, if you know that you want to be saved, then you what I call awakened sinner. We have here what we call an awakening ministry. Folks make fun of us. They say, well, you got anybody awakened? Well, there's one here and one there. This ministry here, the thrust of this ministry, Radio Missions, is radio ministry. We have a small congregation here of folks who have been called out and saved. We have folks from all over the Southland, maybe some in the Northland, who come here on our fellowship day, which will be coming up for long. But as a rule, that individual we're looking at, walking along day by day, plodding along, maybe religious, maybe not. But the Lord has chosen him, and the Holy Spirit comes there. Comes there by the Word of God, preached and taught, maybe some individual with a personal testimony. You ever have someone tell you how the Lord saved them? I have, many, many times. The saints of God. The saints of God told me how the Lord saved them. And it went home to my heart like a bombed arrow. But my friend, that's how the Holy Spirit does. I can't describe the work of the Holy Spirit in totality. And you can't either. But he comes there. Maybe by reading God's Word, you come across that verse, it just goes home like a thunderbolt. It says, are you saved? Are you saved? That's why I refute a lot of error here on the old Trailblazer broadcast. I try to refute error. I've told you about I have this gracious man, a friend of mine. He was a carpenter, and I met him out on the job when I used to work on the job. I was an electrician. And I met him, and I made friends with him, and he was a charismatic man. And one day he told me how he said the Lord saved him. He said he was on a creek fishing one day back in the woods with a pole line fishing. And he said all of a sudden he looked up the creek, and here come a Bible floating down the creek. And he took his fishing pole and raked it over to the side, fished it out of the water. It wasn't even wet. He thought it was a miracle. A miracle, my friend. And he opened it, or it was open to a certain scripture, and he attributed that as his salvation. I don't remember what the scripture was, he told me. But my friend, that's what Satan does. Satan is the god of this world. We just finished that study. I wish you'd write and get them. Satan, the god of this world. Satan is not some individual with a long horned and bob tail and forked tail and all. Satan has got a $1,000 suit and a $400 pair of shoes on, my friend, and he's down here at church. He ain't over there at the honky-tonk, but he does that work in the center to keep them blinded. This man, I loved him. He was gentle, kind, easygoing. We didn't fuss and argue, but I just listened to him. Shook my head and went on down the road. I don't know if he's still living or not. I hope he is. Oh, my friend, but listen. That's not the way the Lord saves a sinner. No. The believer can, let's go back where I find my place, where I was reading. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, surrendered himself into the Holy Spirit. And everything that was taught or wrought was done through the Holy Spirit. Now, the surrendered believer has only one thought in mind, and that's to walk in the will of his master. for his honor and his glory. What is our aim, my friend? To glorify the Lord. Listen, John 2:2 says, he that abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. Then John again writes and says, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you, all things is truth and no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. At when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Then we see that Christ lived and taught and worked only in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. How much it behooves us, we who are the children of God, to tarry with him until the Holy Spirit takes absolute possession of our lives. And I'm not speaking about speaking in tongues and all of that. I'm not doing that, my friend. That's of Satan. All of that stuff is of Satan, my friend. Oh, but listen. We tarry with him until he takes absolute possession. The very monopoly of our building, our being, that all we do or say will be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's just stop there for a moment. We have just a minute or two. Could I just implore you to ask the Lord to search your heart? Are you saved? You say, old Trailblazer, you just an old kook. I know that. I don't deny it at all. I am. I'm just an old kook. I'm an old crackpot. We've been called everything that's reasonable and decent. A lot of things is not decent. But, my friend, the greatest thing in this life is to be saved, not to speak in tongue, not to cast out demons, not to do those things. I don't make fun of those folks, no, sir, because I know where they're at. I know where they are. I know how that got started over there on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, back in 1900, and I have that written account of that. If you'd like it, I'll send it to you. But my friend, every day as we go by, day by day, we see Satan encroaching in our world, in the religious world. He's encroaching. The pastors now come out of the seminary with a little 90-day wonder degree, and all they know is trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. We see the little clerks in the grocery store with a T-shirt on says, have a Jesus day, mister. Have a Jesus day. Go down the road with a fish on the back of the car, some kind of deal that looks like something. But, my friend, none of that. Christ is a living reality, my friend, a living reality to his child. It's not a figment of my imagination. It's not a fairy tale. No, it's reality. I ask you, do you know the Lord? Are you looking to the Lord day by day to take charge of your heart and life? Did you know he says, come now, let us reason together? Saint and sinner, you can reason with the Lord. I like to go out on my back porch in the evening late in this fall of year and summertime, sit out there on my old high back rocker and reason with the Lord. Lord, you know I ain't able. Lord, you know I ain't worthy. Lord, you know these people won't have the truth. Lord, you can only you can do that, Lord, by the Holy Spirit's work. So would you pray for the old Trailblazer? I fail to mention that oftentimes. Pray for me. Help me with the broadcast, if you will, just a little bit. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. May God bless you.